Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome into Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky, and today I am joined by the great Marina Marr. Marina, what is up?
Evan, how are we?
We are great. It's been a minute. I've said this to a few people this year. It's fun because now that I do two episodes a week and one is with a different person every week, it's like, you know, you get to kind of rekindle the friendships and the podcasts we used to do, because you and I used to do Bruins Beat a fair amount back in the day.
Yeah, and then you just told me you had Grinnelli on before me, and I was like, well, what am I, chopped liver? This is sad. New season, and I'm second in line. It's tough.
You are not second in line at all. You used to be on quite a bit, and then it just got to be me and Connor, and then now you're back, and you'll be on more, which is awesome. And how have you been? How's New York? How old is your daughter?
I truly hate when people do this, but it's the only way I can tell you how old she is. But she's 16 months, so like a year and a half. But like, I hate when people on like TikTok like write, "Oh, my daughter's 16 months." It's like, just say like a year and a half. But like, yet I have to do it because I could not tell you otherwise. But she's great. We're actually going to the Bruins game coming up next Saturday when they go to the Coyotes. It's a matinee, so I'm bringing her for that. So the first time around, she was 3 months old. You know, I could just put her in my lap, but now she's running around, and we'll see what happens when we go to that. But she's great. I'm great. Thanks for having me out.
Of course, that's awesome. Because I remember seeing you post a picture of her at her first game. I was like, 3 months. So that's late for you. Mm-hmm. I would have thought, like, you know, right home from the hospital, going straight to a Bruins game. But 3 months, that's okay.
Well, that's okay. She was born in August. She was born in August, so we had to wait till October. So,
well, there's training camp. I mean,
oh, that's true.
Come on.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Like, I'm sure she'll love going to like the pro shop and like picking something out. Like, I'll get her like a stuffed Blades or something, so that'll be fun.
Oh yeah, the little kids love the mascots. But yeah, so good to hear that. I'm excited to see how that goes. Do you have to put the headphones on her and everything, or do you go no headphones?
I'm gonna bring them, but she's usually pretty good about it now, but I'll probably bring them otherwise. I feel like she'll get scared like if they score or something. So I'm gonna bring them for sure.
She's lucky it's not Columbus and you have the
cannon going off. It's not the cannon.
That's,
oh Jesus, no, don't even get God. Me started little about kids, the Columbus game.
Yeah, little kids probably cannot. Have you been to Columbus to hear that in person?
I actually haven't. I'd love to go, though.
I am with you. I've never, but everyone who covers a game there says it's like the scariest thing. So I at some point I'll hear it, and it'll probably scare the shit out of me. So I'm excited for when that happens. So the Bruins, you're coming on at a weird time because they had this hot start. They've been in a three-game losing streak. We're recording this early on Thursday, so it's pre-Bruins Sharks, which could be interesting, because if they lose this, I think that's like DEFCON 4. But what
is it
overall?
Though?
I mean, for some people, it will be. For some people, it will be.
People are already mightily upset. I think it's just the way that they're losing is so demoralizing. Like, you could handle, you know, a one-loss game, but they're getting blown out, and the goalies are letting in 8 goals a game. So I think it's easier to be like, oh, the sky is falling when that happens. But, like, I'm just like, they're fine.
No, I also think that they will ultimately be fine. And I've said all along this week, I think it's a good thing that they're hitting this at this time and fixing these things now rather than have it hit in April. But what are your thoughts on the Bruins so far? I mean, you know, have your expectations changed at all for this team and where they're at? Or where are you at with this team?
What's beautiful is that I came into the season with quite literally no expectations. So 3 games in, I was ready to say that they are Stanley Cup contenders once again. I've been surprised by the season a little bit, but I'm also not surprised that they're facing this adversity now. If you look at the roster and you told me, oh, you know, come December, they're going to be in a little bit of a slump, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, with what this roster actually has and the players on it, no one ever thought that they would be, you know, top of the NHL at this point so far, especially without Krejci and Bergeron. So I came in with very low expectations, but and naturally, as a Bruins fan, I now have very high expectations because I want them, you know, to go all the way. But right now, very uninspired play. So I wouldn't say expectations have changed too much. I think the beautiful thing about having low expectations is that like nothing can hurt you at this moment. And so like I'm not worried about play in, you know, December when I'm more focused on April and banking points. So uninspired play. I can see why people think the sky is falling, but I've come in with low expectations that are now high expectations. But that's me every year. Like that's I convince myself this team's gonna win it all and Don Sweeney should you know, go for it at the deadline every single year. So nothing has changed.
It's like when in high school, if I had a really hard exam or a test or something that I, you know, wasn't great at, I'd be like, ah, set the expectations low. You know, if I can get above a 70, right? And then I'd get like an 81 or something, and I'd be like, this is the best day ever.
Let's go.
So maybe that's you with this team. It's interesting because as for you as a fan, I mean, they break your heart like every year,
Right.
pretty much. At least definitely last year. I think they're just building it up to break everybody's hearts again.
100%.
But what's intriguing to me about this roster and where I'm at with this team, because I've asked a few people this year, and it was always when they were really good. So it's like, oh, you know, they could be legit cup contenders. I don't know if I see them as true Stanley Cup contenders yet. They have the goaltending for it. I know it's been, you know, a slump the past couple games, but again, overall, you have the best tandem in the league. That's an advantage you have over everybody. Defensively, they've looked really bad the last 3 games, but I think overall, defensively, they should be good. That's a strength. Up front, though, is I think where you're a little thin, and you know, you're seeing Montgomery jumble the lines right now, trying to find a top nine that makes sense. You're seeing Danton Heinen up on the first line. You're seeing, you know, guys moving up and down and kind of everywhere. And to me, that's sort of their flaw, I think, long term. I know defensively right now they're bad and they're not good. But I think their biggest flaw and what could hurt them down the stretch and in the playoffs is just kind of that lack of consistent scoring. And you have got it from like Van Riemsdyk has produced. Coyle is producing more than we thought. Zacha's producing at a good rate. Pastrnak's been outstanding. We'll get to team MVPs later in this episode. But I think the scoring is an interesting thing because that's one area where I guess I'd mark against them and putting them as true, like, Stanley Cup contenders. Obviously, they're a playoff team. I think we all are in agreement that they will be in the playoffs come the spring. But what's holding me back from saying they are true cup contenders, even though they're the first place team in the Atlantic and they're one of the best teams in the NHL, is just that scoring isn't quite there. Do you see that as well, or do you see it differently?
100%. Yes, for sure. I think you have a lot of complementary players, like the JVRs of the world, Heinen. You know, you have a rookie in Patras who has to carry a lot of weight, you know, in the center position. So I think what worked for the Bruins, you know, this entire season has just been outworking the other team. Like it's as simple as that. They may not be as skilled as the other team, but they're gonna work their asses off and they're gonna hound pucks and you know, and win those kinds of ways. So when that's not
Pucks
happening,
in deep.
you
You were gonna
know,
say it. Pucks in deep.
pucks in deep. I was gonna say it. And so when that's not happening and then you see them losing by 8 and no one's scoring, you're like, oh, like what's happening here? So I do agree with that. I think, you know, maybe they can upgrade, like Patrick Kane you could talk about his character all you want, but I think he would have been a great scoring addition to this team. I think you've seen the lines being such blenders this season. The one real line is JVR, Coyle, and Frederick, I think has played the most together, but then everyone else has played essentially with everyone else. And so I think it's a lot of that too, where you have a lot of new guys and you're still kind of figuring out what combinations work. You have new guys, you know, who haven't been here for a while. So it is hard. I get the sense is they're still trying to figure out who works where, right? Like, you know, you're going to get your story from Pasternak. I'd like to see Marchand stick with a line. Like, I'd like them to just, you know, kind of figure their lines out.
That's so you nailed it there. I think that's one area where I get and I understand trying to find the right grouping of trios, right? That makes sense. But we're recording November 30th. So we are pretty much two full months into the season. We are well past it being the beginning of the season. We are into the grind, so to speak. And there is a little bit of there's a part of me that is concerned a little bit that you're not finding the right fits. Now, the fourth line has been pretty stable. Beecher's been a good, solid fourth line center. He's given you what you needed and more. Guys like Lauko have stepped in and provided an impact. Obviously, the Lucic situation is what that is. But he was even
hurt prior
to that.
But I'm never looking at those guys to score. You know what I mean?
Like, no,
like
exactly.
Beecher's been
exactly.
Great. Like, I'm like, you know what? Like, him chipping in offensively has been awesome. Like, but I'm never looking at those guys to be the reason why, you know, the Bruins are scoring whatever their rate is right now.
100%. And you want that line to be just stable. Can you just give us some energy? Can you just do your job? It doesn't have to be scoring. But again, that, you know, Marchand, as you said, has not found a line yet. Patra really has not found the perfect blend of wingers next to him. They've tried DeBrusk and Heinen. That was a bit mixed. I want to get to DeBrusk a little bit later on something. But that's an area, like, but you nailed it. Like, Frederick, Coyle, JVR has been great, right? Like, that's been an awesome line. I think we all agree that that's a line that could have a lot of success in the playoffs as well, just because they're big and they can, you know, forecheck the hell out of guys and they can provide an impact that way. But it is a little concerning that, you know, like, Marchand, Zaka, Pasternak was okay. But did have some struggles, but you also have to spread that out. I mean, remember in the Cassidy years, the Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak line was awesome, but then that depth through the rest of the lineup wasn't as expected. So I'm curious to see, because as we've seen, like, Montgomery, as of yesterday, Wednesday, kept that Coyle line together and has been kind of jumbling Patra and Zaka, their line mates and their wingers. So I'm curious to see what they do. Do you have any preferences in lines? Do you have any duos or combos that you like that they've rolled out so far?
I would like to keep Marchand and Patras together, just because I think Marchand's so, you know, responsible defensively that I think he helps him in a lot of ways. And especially, like, the kid's 19, right? Like, it's a long grind of a season. And I'm not surprised that he's hit a bit of a wall. So I think the more you could help him with Marchand there would be great. And then it's kind of figuring out the rest. Like, you brought up DeBrusk. Like, what's Jake bringing right now? It's a contract year for him. Is he a little bit banged up? Like, what's going on with him? I think they just need to jumpstart some guys, and then the rest will fall as they may.
And I think Montgomery's mentioned this before in sort of keeping duos together. And I agree with you. Like, I know Marchand and Patra haven't had a lot of success analytically so far this year. I get that. But I agree with you. Like, that, in theory, should work. Zaka Pasternak works. And I think it's just kind of finding wingers, whether it's Heinen, Geeky, it used to be Van Riemsdyk, but he's sort of found his home with Coyle and Frederick. DeBrusk, I want to get to DeBrusk in a second, but Marina, first, we got a quick word, real quick word from our sponsor. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. Again, FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. In Mass, 21 plus and present in Mass. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Now, back to the show. So, since we're on the topic of DeBrusk, we've kind of discussed this team, and I want to discuss some bigger picture things. I want to do team MVP, and I want to do biggest concern so far. So we're going to do, like, a positive and a negative. We're going to keep it balanced. That's what we're going to do. We'll start with team MVP, because we'll start on a good note, right? We'll end on a bad note, but we'll start on a good note. Who is your team MVP so far?
I'm going goalies. It's not one of them. It's both of them. Without them, this team is nowhere near where they are right now. I mean, it's insane. I thought Omark would have a little bit of a drop-off, and I guess he technically has. But, I mean, they are the reason that the Bruins have a chance to win every single night. And like I said, without them, they're in trouble. So they are my number one.
I agree with you. I mean, again, they started 14-1-3. That's all goalie. I mean, if you go and you watch every game, you saw it. Like, there were so many games in there where they would have lost had Swayman not made some outstanding saves, or Omark the same thing. And I agree with you. My other pick, I'll go with two others. I'll start with Pastrnak. I think just the fact that, you know, again, there's been so much turnover.
That's just a layup. I tweeted the other day, like, he's just automatic. Like, what you're getting from him, and it's amazing.
It's true, and it is, and he's a legitimate Hart Trophy candidate. I think that's the other part of it that's good for the Bruins. And again, like, with the turnover you had going from last year to this year's team up front, losing Bergeron, losing Krejci, losing, you know, Bertuzzi and Taylor Hall, who, unfortunate for Taylor Hall, is out for the year now with Chicago, which you just hate to see. But losing those guys, the fact that you can rely on a guy like Pastrnak to put up the production that he has, to produce at, you know, well over a point per game clip. Now, again, you're paying him for that, but you do. There's a second part of that. You actually have to produce, and he does.
I think it was a legit concern to see what he could do without Bergeron, right? Like,
yeah.
I think, you know what I mean? Like, he's never had to play without these guys since being in the league. So I think it was a legit concern, but yeah, you are right. Like, he's getting paid a shit ton to produce, and he is producing.
And I remember there was always that narrative last year when it took a little while for them to get him signed. There was that whole idea of, who's he going to play with? Like, are they going to intrigue him with a good center when Bergeron and Krejci are gone? And I think they've gotten really lucky. Really lucky with Pavel Zacha that trade worked out to the extent that it did, and that Pastrnak seems to like playing with Zacha, and that duo works. So again, I think they're fortunate there. Yeah, well, you know, so it's interesting. I want to touch on a point I have with that later. My other one would be Charlie Coyle. Coyle is, I think, right under a point per game. He's been a solid presence down the middle. He's got two legitimate line mates that you know his guys are going to be. Throughout the years, he's always been so defensively responsible. He's great puck protector. He's good in the offensive zone, cycling it and kind of having sustained ozone time. It was always just like the production, just getting that bit of production, and you're getting that. And he looks and is playing like a top six center for the first time, I think, in his Bruins career. He's worked there. And, you know, again, the emergence of Patra has been big. You know, the big thing we talked about all offseason, they need a number one center. They need a legitimate number one center with Bergeron gone. And I still think there's a legitimate point to be made, and I think it'd be a smart move at some point to address that, whether it's, you know, drafting the next guy, you getting back into the first round for that matter, or pulling off a trade somehow. I don't know how you're doing that with assets, but if you can make it work, make it work. But it's reduced the tenor around how much that's talked about. That Coyle's been so good. Zaka's, you know, held his own. I know he's struggling a little bit here, but he's held his own for the most part. And Patra has emerged. I know, as you said, he's hit a wall a bit, but I think still he's on like a 40-point pace for a 19-year-old kid. At 19 years old, Marina, 19, I wasn't on a 40-point pace. I wouldn't be on a 40-point pace in the NHL. You might have been. You might have been at 19. You might have been on a 40-point pace. But I mean, again, I think it's, you know, where are you at with wanting to get a number one center? Because I feel like you still need to get one. You still should. But it's not as dire as it was 3 months ago.
Totally. Like, I've always said, like, Charlie Coyle is a great third line center, elite third line center, you could say. And he's always just been a good second line center. But I feel like this year he's really, like, stepped up. And I think he's had to step up in the absence of, you know, DeBrusk's production. I think you jumpstart Jake and this line and this team will really start going. But I'm not surprised that he's doing so well. But like you said, it was such a dire situation. You know, no Bergeron, no Krejci. Patras comes in, makes camp, and all of a sudden, you know, the Bruins are top of the NHL and they don't have a legit number one center. So it's kind of by committee that they're doing this. I do still think it's a need. Like, if I were to go shopping right now for the Bruins, it would be a number one center. Just because I think depth-wise, you bring everyone down just a notch in the lineup, and then I think it's a perfect lineup. I think that one depth piece or one scoring piece would be perfect for this team. But like you said, assets-wise, money-wise, it'd be really tight to do without giving someone up. I'm not sure what's going on with the Lucic situation, but I'm sure they could free up some money there. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how you go into the season being like, oh my God, this team is going to be so horrible. They have no centers. To wow, Zaka, Coyle are really stepping up. Then you have the surprise and the rookie. And it's kind of been, it's so funny. Like, I love when like Rangers fans or like Leafs fans always tweet like, oh, this is the year the Bruins are gonna fall off, and then some way somehow they figure out something to keep it going. So that cracks me up. But yeah, it's I'm very happy for Zaka because there's just been so much turmoil from Devils fans telling us how much he sucks, and he's kind of shut those people up. But yeah, I would go shopping for number one center if I could. Really impressed by Coyle stepping up this year productively. I really like that line. Him and Frederick together have been nice. And then GVR, just a big-bodied line. Big-bodied line.
Big boys.
And all three of those guys. Big boys. Big boys producing. It's just, that's what you
that's
love
exactly
to see.
It.
But yeah, I think you can if you can help shelter Patras and get him going, then maybe I can see them just kind of go limping into the playoffs with this lineup. But I think if they really want to make some noise in the playoffs, they need another center, but it's not as dire as you would think.
Yeah, it's funny because like I didn't think they'd be horrible coming into the year. I had them at like third in the Atlantic when they finished the season.
Yeah, I think I was in the same boat.
Yeah, like what's interesting is, you know, I remember last year after that Panthers series, was Bergeron out for game one and two, or was it just game three and four? I think it was it.
No, I think it was. I think it was the first couple.
Was it? Yeah. So, because Coyle and Zaka were outstanding in their time as, you know, having to step up in Bergeron and Krejci spots. But yeah, because Bergeron got hurt in that last game.
Put him in. Yeah, he
that's
got hurt
right.
The last game, and you almost didn't want to put him in because they were doing so well.
That's
as
the thing. And so a
that
lot
is
of
people.
I know. And what's, but a lot of people, I remember after that series, were like, you know, Zaka and Coyle can handle it. They proved it. And I kept thinking, you know, it's the beginning of the playoffs. Adrenaline's high. It was like a 3 or 4 game sample size. That was the case. I'm like, over an 82 game season, I don't know how that's going to hold up. Because you can do that for a couple games. You can generate that energy and do what they do for that amount of time. But over a longer stretch of time, it's a different ball game. And they've proven themselves, I think, so far. You know, it's interesting. I think this is probably a discussion we're going to have closer to January and February. But my outlook on the deadline now is very much, I'd rather them not give up future assets at the current moment. Unless it's for like an Elias Lindholm and you can lock him up long term, right? Or if it's like a Hampus Lindholm deal.
Correct.
Yes. If it's a Lindholm type deal for a center, great. If it's a guy you can put in your future core who's 26, 27, 28, you know, again, that's going to be hard to find, but can really, you know, be a legit number one center, awesome, right? I'm all for that. Yeah. But if it's, you know, a center that's on an expiring deal who you had to give up a first-round pick for, I'm not for that, right? Like, I'm not for the short-term stuff because you need your future assets.
I mean, next summer, they're going to have money to play with too.
This is true. This is true. And I'm very curious to see what that free agent class, who's actually going to make it to that, because it feels like nowadays it's hard to kind of get a pillar of your franchise in free agency. On another note, biggest concern. What is your biggest concern right now?
I mean, right now you're just seeing kind of the cracks in the foundation, right? There, I guess my biggest concern would be to see how they get out of this slump, right? Like, is this slump going to continue tonight against the worst team in the NHL? Or are they going to be like, you know what? I think Charlie McAvoy said something like, you know, it's great that we're facing adversity because last year we faced no adversity and look what happened. So I think, you know, a little bit of that is great. I'm more worried about just the wear and tear over the long 82-game season. Like I said, with Patras, with everybody, Hampus, you know, guys who usually get a little beat up, I don't want them limping into the playoffs like they've kind of had in years past. I mean, Hampus broke his foot, I think, like with 10 games to go, and he wasn't right for the playoffs. So my major concern is health. And then you kind of – I guess the goalie slumping is a little concerning to me, the fact that both of them aren't playing that great right now. But like I said, adversity is good. Hopefully they get past this slump. And then, you know, the concerns are really just – minimal going through the rest of the season because I have the lowest of expectations. And like, you never want to waste the year, right? Like, you never want to go into the playoffs being like, ah, you know what? They don't do it this year. You know, there's always next year, the year after. Like, I don't think it's a situation like that, but I just think all things considered this year, they've proven so much and have been so resilient so far that I'm like, you know what? Fucking go for it at this point. Like, tool on the fly and see what you can do when the playoffs come around, because I think if you learned anything from last year, literally anything can happen. So concerns would be their, I guess, reaction to adversities, seeing how they get out of this slump. They haven't really faced anything like this year. But overall, I have low expectations, so it's been just a nice, fun ride.
That's I think a lot of fans are in that same boat of like, you know what, I'm not gonna you know, expect a lot, and whatever I get, I'll take. And so far they've given a lot, so I think that's a good thing. It's interesting because, like I mentioned, you know, wanting to keep those future assets and being smart, because it is kind of a transition year. Patra, Lowry getting some time, Beecher, you know, Zacha and Coyle, testing them out as top six centers. But on the other end of it, Brad Marchand's 35 years old. You'd like to ideally win another with him, especially, I mean, imagine the image of him lifting the Stanley Cup as captain. Imagine that. So that's one. I know, I'm getting your expectations up. But number two is this tandem in net, you don't have forever. You won't have forever. Swayman's going to require a lot of money. Ullmark will need a probably bigger contract when his is up in the next couple years. So I don't know how long you're going to have those two at the prices they're at now. So that's another kind of reason to be a little bit more urgent than a true transitional team. But my biggest concern, and we touched on this a little bit throughout, is the DeBrus situation. The Jake DeBrus situation, because I, like everybody else, thought coming into this year, he was going to tear it up. Contract year, healthy, looked great last year when he was healthy, new coach, all those things, right? And I think 8 points in 21 games, 3 goals. Like, again, he is good in his own zone, and he's responsible, and he can, you know, he's gritty and can help the game in all different ways. But in a top six where you do need him to produce, he hasn't been producing. And like you mentioned, we mentioned earlier with the lines, like, you know, Marchand, Patra, and Zacha, Pasternak, DeBrus should have a home next to one of those guys, like, for sure. And he's really struggled to kind of find the right guy, and a lot of people said, oh, it's because there's no Bergeron, and maybe that's the case. But the other end of it is, like, if he continues to struggle, and, all right, they can't find common ground on a contract, and you got to trade him, he had a lot of value in the summer. Like, I think back in the summer, if you were to deal someone like DeBrus, you'd get a definitely get a first, you might get a little bit more. Now I think if he continues to struggle, he's almost kind of like, you know, people have been saying, oh, we want to, for DeBrusque, if you're going to trade him, do it like a Zaka trade, you know? Trade him for another NHL player that can help you on the roster. And my fear in that would be he would be the Zaka in that trade. Like, you would trade Jake DeBrusque, who's a former first-rounder with a high ceiling, like Pavel Zaka, where things just aren't working out the way you want him to. But that high ceiling's there, and you're going to trade him for a legitimate roster piece who you know what you're going to get, but the ceiling's not that high. And it's just, that would be my fear in a trade like that.
You deal him, he's going to turn into, like, you know, the sickest player in the world. Like, Kyle Connor. The second you move on from him, he's going to tear it up. So that is actually my biggest worry with him. I think it could be a little bit, I guess not injury, but just, I don't know how to, like, put it. Like, there's definitely something going on, and like, I'm with you. I thought he would tear it up, contract year and all this stuff. But yeah, I don't deal him just because you would be dealing him at his lowest trade value, and you're going to need a guy like him going into the playoffs. Like, I think he arises to the occasion, and so he's got to figure it out for sure. But I'm on team no trade. Just because the second you do, he's going to be like a 50-goal scorer somewhere for someone else. So I do not want that to happen. I'm with you. It would be exactly like the Zaka trade.
So that's where I agree. However, if a team came to you at the deadline and said, we'll give you a first for Jake DeBrusque, I'd have a tough time giving that up. Like, that's where I know people are like, why would you want to it would hurt the roster, and I get that. But there's this other side to the DeBrusque thing. Like, Connor and I talked about this a lot in the offseason, where, like, DeBrusque is a potential 30-goal scorer. You pretty much know what you're going to get out of him, or you should, at least production-wise, in the top six. He plays a Bruin style of game. I know a lot of people think he's soft, but, like, he doesn't play soft. He plays a hard game. He has a nose for the net, all those little things. That's why it's kind of surprising that he does struggle production-wise, because he has no problem just taking it to the net. You saw it against the Panthers the night before Thanksgiving. Just took it right to the net, followed up on a rebound. Like, he should be doing that that should be all the time. But again, I go back to, like, do you want to lock up, now seeing him being inconsistent under Montgomery, what it might take to get a guy like him, contract-wise? Is that money you want to have tied up in him? That's the other part of it, where it's like,
I think that's a fair question for sure. Right. Like, he's going to want more money, but, and like, what has he done to deserve that? And I think it's a little bit like, oh, well, I took less money and look what I did before. But I mean, you throw that all out the window. I've been a little bit surprised that going into the season that he wasn't locked up. Obviously he had a trade request like 2 years ago. But I think you threw it out the window with Montgomery now. So it is an interesting case for sure. But I just think you're kind of screwing yourself if you do deal him, unless you have someone in Providence that you know could step in and do as good of a job as him, right? Like, so maybe Lysell is lighting it up, or maybe you know, there's a bunch of guys down there that can contribute. So I think you're right. Like, a first round pick. The Bruins don't have many of those, so I would definitely do that. But I would also look at kind of, I guess, going into the rest of the year, you know, it is tricky because the Bruins aren't strapped for cash next year. So I'd be okay giving him, you know, whatever extra he wanted for maybe a year or two. But it is a slippery slope at the moment right now.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest concern going forward, because, again, the on-ice stuff, like, I agree with you. If the goalies continue to struggle, like, this team is... Nothing matters. But to me, like, the DeBrusque situation, because he was your biggest asset going into this year, mm-hmm. and I think you expected more out of him, and the deal is not done yet contractually. So I would put that at the top of my concerns. But, Marina, sure. It has been awesome having you on. You will be on again for sure. What can the people look forward to from you? What are you working on? What should people be on the lookout for?
Oh, you can always find me talking about the bees on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. I am Rena K. Mar on Twitter and Instagram. You can go find me. Hopefully there are not a lot of hot takes tonight, and hopefully it's an easy, I'm gonna go 4-1 win against the Sharks tonight. I think it's a sway day, so hopefully, the goalies get right. But yeah, go follow me on Twitter and social media and whatnot, and thanks so much for having me on, Evan.
Of
Even though I was
course,
in your
always a
second
fun
choice.
time. Ah, you were
Second
not.
choice.
That's not true. I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it like that. But anyways, Marina, it's been a pleasure as always, and that has been Bruins Beat. I'm Evan Marinofsky, Bruins Beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week.
Teenage.